Welcome to the Holistic Pharmacy Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Marina Buksov, holistic health coach, clinical herbalist, and functional medicine pharmacist, or just holistic pharmacist for short. I'll be sharing inspiring stories of my guests who have shifted into holistic modalities, both personally and professionally. My co-host, Dr. Jenna Carmichael, will be joining me to lead the Journal Club episodes to share an evidence-based approach to holistic and herbal medicine. I'm so glad you're here and hope you enjoy the show. What's up, everyone? I have quite a treat for you in store today as I'm introducing you to yet another inspiring guest and powerhouse. Co-workers widely regard her as Mother Nature, wellness warrior, and an inspiring health educator. As a parent of a child who battled cancer, she helps other parents with the overwhelming feeling of childhood cancer diagnosis using her HOPE prescription. I'm excited to introduce Gina Ruffa, a pharmacist with decades of experience in hospital, retail, and independent pharmacies. She's been a cancer coach and has done extensive research on cancer prevention using natural remedies. She was featured on The Truth About Cancer and has helped many people, including her son, journey through cancer while using interventions and alternatives. Gina was a guest speaker for the 2019 Reboot Health and Wellness Cruise and a commentator on numerous radio broadcasts, as well as a speaker at health and wellness fairs, and has hosted webinars pertaining to health and wellness. She's a graduate of Duquesne University School of Pharmacy and has completed a hospital residency. She's the founder and CEO of What's Up, an herbal and supplemental coaching business. She's nationally known for her holistic pharmaceutical skills and takes an integrative approach in assisting clients individualize which herbs, supplements, and foods would be most appropriate. She currently works as a consultant for new product developments with Pharmulated.com and writes monthly blogs. So without further ado, let's welcome her to the show. Hi, everybody. Welcome back to the Holistic Pharmacy Podcast. I have with me today Dr. Gina Ruffa, who is also a holistic pharmacist. So I'm super excited to get to hear about her story and her professional journey. So welcome to the show, Gina.
Thank you so much, Marina. I've been wanting to connect with you for months. We've had a little bit of chit chat going back and forth, but a pleasure and an opportunity to be with you today.
Yeah, absolutely. I got to know you a little bit via LinkedIn, but I would love to just hear your story as far as where you grew up and how you got into pharmacy in the first place.
Sure. Well, I modeled after my uncle. My uncle was a pharmacist who ended up becoming a dentist, and he went to pharmacy school at Duquesne University in Pittsburgh and then graduated from dental school at University of Pittsburgh. He actually paid his way through dental school working as a pharmacist for Thrift Drugs. So he was kind of my motivation and inspiration. And I had contemplated, I knew I wanted something in healthcare. I had contemplated between optometry school, dentistry, pharmacy, and he was sort of my role model. And I did the pharmacy program at Duquesne. And then I was contemplating medical school. So I spent about a year at West Virginia University Med School. And then I realized after a year or so that this was just really intense and I wasn't sure I wanted to go through that many years of training. So then I left medical school. I took my first job working for a Super X drug chain in Parkersburg, West Virginia. I was assistant manager there for about a year. And then I got bored in West Virginia and decided to do a hospital residency program at Shands Teaching Hospital in Gainesville, Florida. And I did that program and started their PharmD program. So that's pretty much how my journey went.
Wow, what a robust journey with a lot of different steps in between there. So what was your favorite part of the journey and what kind of got you to transition to a more holistic model of care?
Well, I worked in hospital pharmacy. I actually spent a summer in the pharmaceutical industry during school. It was part of that NPC summer pharmacy internship. So I got to work with Shearing Plough for a summer. Most of my early journey as a pharmacist was in the hospital pharmacy. My job before moving to Erie, Pennsylvania was at a hospital in Pittsburgh, where I was just a satellite pharmacist for the ICU unit in our hospital. And then when I got married and got pregnant and moved to Erie and bought a house, I was still at a local hospital where my husband was doing his residency training. He's was in family practice residency at the time. And I was working at the hospital for 3 years. I was pregnant and expecting my second child. I was 9 months pregnant with my second child, and I got a horrible diagnosis for my firstborn son, indicating that he had a tumor, a mass in his sinuses. Yeah, so he was diagnosed with a stage 3 rhabdomyosarcoma at the early age of 2, and we had to go through very extensive head and neck surgery in Colorado. And then we did chemotherapy in Pittsburgh. And then he was in remission for a year. And then when he was 4 years old, he ended up with a stage 4 metastasis into his right lung, had another lung resection, followed by a bone marrow transplant. It was actually a stem cell transplant. He had many complications after his transplant, was in a coma for a month. He was hemorrhaging. He had veno-occlusive disease of the liver, no white blood cell count, both lungs collapsed. We thought we were losing him. So after the second bout with cancer, I knew that I had to get very health conscious. And I was always pretty health conscious to begin with. So it really just shook us up as a family. And it was very alarming. And so then I practiced one after he got diagnosed with cancer, and I needed more leniency with my schedule. So I actually took a job with an independent pharmacy in Pennsylvania. I ended up staying with that job for about 27 years, but it gave me the flexibility that I needed to go back and forth to Children's Hospital and to do the treatments that I needed to do with my son. So during that whole interim, I was becoming more and more health conscious, more and more aware of things, lifestyle changes that needed to be made. Dietary changes that were so important. And so I really, after that whole journey through cancer, became one of those, like, my nickname from my children was Mother Nature. So Mother Nature grew her 4 children up on raw juices and smoothies and organic foods, plants, mostly plant-based. And then I started counseling and doing consults for cancer patients because it was a passion of mine because of the journey I had gone through. So my son ended up having a total of like 30 some surgeries. He's had as many surgeries as birthdays. And it just, you have no option but to be very regimented and very strict after such a diagnosis, not only once, but twice. So that's what really got my journey shifted toward a more holistic career.
Wow. Well, first of all, I'm so sorry to hear that you had to learn about these things the hard way. And I hope that your son is on the other side of things now. But I really want to ask you, as a pharmacist, right, having the training and the residency and all the allopathic and evidence-based approach, how did that affect or influence the decisions that you had to make for your family with this cancer journey, and then your ultimate diving into a more holistic approach?
Well, when you listen to westernized medicine and traditional medicine, it's surgery, chemotherapy, radiation, period, end of story. But my maternal instinct told me that there was more that I had to do because we were making these very, very serious decisions for our son, who was too young to make his own decisions. So we wanted to make sure we were covering all of our bases. And at the end of the day, we wanted to look back and say, okay, we did absolutely everything that we could for our son. So that therefore, we took a more integrated approach. So we combined traditional medicine with alternative medicine, which was mostly, diet, fruits, vegetables, juicing. So we knew that we had to incorporate that to maximize his chances of long-term survival.
Yeah, that makes sense. You definitely want to do everything and have no regrets. And cancer is one of these, still very, very scary diagnoses. And
whenever you hear it, you sort of right away think, okay, fatality, there's a chance of mortality, right? You know, and it's just something that I don't wish on anybody to have to go through that, especially with your child. So when you were learning about all of these other integrative approaches, something that I get asked a lot is, you know, how do you discern what's true from fiction? Because there's so many different approaches and sometimes they're in conflict, right? Like plant-based or keto or juicing or all of these different things. So how did you come up with the regimen that worked for you? And then how did you also gain that confidence to be able to consult other people through their cancer journeys?
Well, there was an awful lot of schmuck to have to go through on the internet. I mean, there was everything from injections, hydrazine sulfate injections, to shark cartilage, to ozone therapy. I mean, there's just so many alternatives out there. And I had to work with what was comfortable for me. And as a Christian in the Bible, you know, going back to Genesis, in Genesis, and it talks about, you know, plant-based foods. You know, the original Garden of Eden diet was fruits, vegetables, whole grains. And so I stuck with that because I knew that there were many important phytonutrients in plant-based foods. And just like every medicine has a different mechanism of action in your body on how it works and the receptors that it binds to, likewise, plant medicine is really medicine because each different phytochemical reacts in a different way to help combat degenerative diseases like cancer.
Yeah, that makes sense. And as far as what you noticed was making the most difference, was it more like trial and error? Or how did you, you know, kind of sort of gain the expertise in this subject area?
Well, I think the longer he stayed in remission, the more confidence we gained that we were making the right decisions. So that, you know, the time, it's been now since 93 was his original diagnosis, and 95 when I was pregnant with my third child is when he had the recurrence and his stem cell transplant. So it's been since 95 that he's been in remission. And so I figured if things were working, not to fix them. And I did try some very alternative type things that doctors were kind of shrugging their shoulders and didn't necessarily encourage me to do. But one of the crazy things I did when Anthony had his recurrence was I actually used breast milk. And I know it sounds very crazy, but the breast milk is very high in colostrum, which is very, very important for the innate, you know, the baby's immune system. So I figured if it's good enough for babies, it would be good enough for my son. And I was reading where Italians were using colostrum in HIV patients with, you know, immunodeficiencies. So I actually started looking into that. And at the time I was pregnant with my third, and I didn't necessarily have my own breast milk. So I actually got a couple breast milk donors, like a couple women from church, and I actually got my sister-in-law. And then when I had my third child, of course, I had my own, so I was using my own, but I had to push for a feeding tube. So I insisted that the oncologist place a feeding tube in my son, and they didn't want to do that for me. But I said, listen, it's very hard to feed a 2- and a 4-year-old on fruits and vegetables, you know, and they can't swallow pills or capsules. So I need to be able to do this in liquid form. I need a feeding tube. So we started him with an NG tube, and then we switched it over to an NJ because I figured everything could get absorbed better in the small intestine. So it was actually miraculous for us because we started, I was doing, well, we were doing tube feedings at the time, but what I was doing on the side was getting colostrum, and I was getting all kinds of fresh fruits and vegetable juices that I was juicing myself. And I would draw it up in the big syringe, and I would lure lock it onto his tube, and I would just squeeze it down the feeding tube. And I mean, it was unbelievable because he didn't taste anything. He didn't gag on anything. He wasn't nauseous. I mean, it was such a blessing. And then I noticed the more I was doing that, the less and less blood and platelet transfusions he was needing, because he was getting hundreds and hundreds of blood and platelet transfusions, especially when he was in a coma for almost a month. So The feeding tube was really, really important for us during those early years of remission. And then eventually we got rid of the feeding tube and then started encouraging him to do more plant-based. It wasn't real easy at that age, but you know, when you grow up with that sort of strict diet, you know, you sort of don't miss all the sweets and junk and all the other processed stuff that's out there.
Yeah, that makes sense. So because cancer is still such a taboo, I feel like, topic, you know, and there is no like black and white one size fits all, you know, there's different protocols for different cancers and the allopathic system doesn't have all the answers and, you know, the best survival rates for everything. You know, how do you now approach those clients that you work with? Is it like a general set of principles that are common across the board? Are there certain cancers or certain things that you feel more comfortable or specialize in?
Well, I mean, like in our area, breast cancer just seems to be like the number one most predominant thing. And I think it's all this hormone disruption that we're exposed to, you know, starting from EMF radiation to iodine deficiency to GMOs and Roundup and Monsanto and all this other stuff. But there are a lot of general recommendations because, like, everyone knows that inflammation is bad for the body. So, you know, you stick to an anti-inflammatory type diet. Everyone knows that plant-based foods have phytochemicals in them. Animal kingdom does not. So I stick to the plant-based diet. You know, there's certain generalizations like that. And then, like, you know, there are some specific things for specific types of cancer, but for the most part, you know, I concentrate on alkalinity, anti-inflammatory, plant-based. And then, you know, of course, supplements, you know, are a huge part of what I do with my clients. And, you know, which supplements provide the most bang for your buck. And, you know, because there's so many out there and it could be overwhelming for the consumer. And it's like you get this diagnosis of cancer and all of a sudden you realize you're beginning a marathon, you're not even sure if you're trained for this marathon. You have no idea what the intensity, duration, or longevity is going to be, but you have to have the endurance. You have no choice. So, you know, you have to embark. And like, I think the grace gets you through what you have to get through and the necessity, you know. So you're kind of running off of adrenaline, but you know, you can't stop the race and you can't finish the fight until you're finished with treatments. And then, of course, you want to maintain that type of lifestyle. You don't want to resort back to whatever caused the problem in the first place, whatever that interference was. So, you know, you just naturally obtain a more natural state of health consciousness.
Yeah, thank you for sharing that. And so, from seeing your first clients to what you're doing now in your business, I'm curious, how did you know, get the confidence, right, to start working with people with such a serious diagnosis? Because something I see a lot of practitioners and specifically pharmacists who are doing more holistic work and becoming practitioners in different fields. It's that they feel like they don't have the authority, they don't know enough. What if they harm the patient, you know, and all of these fears. So, how did you build your business and your client base?
Well, I did everything with a benefit risk ratio. You know, if the benefit exceeded the risk, and there really aren't risks when it comes to diet. So, like, I did put a very strong emphasis on diet. Supplements gets a little more gray, you know, area, but I did a lot of reading, you know, self-read reading. And, you know, my business has been a lot of word of mouth. I don't do a ton of stuff like worldwide, but I've worked with clients, you know, on the phone and through Zoom in other states. But really, my business really flourished through word of mouth advertising and really decent results, really decent results with many. And so the more people I work with, the more confidence I gained. It's like, you know, your first day in, you know, in the real pharmacy world, it's a little intimidating your first few days when you're behind the counter all by yourself after you did all this didactic work and then you're out in the real world and all of a sudden you have to apply everything. But I think just working with multiple clientele over the years and seeing the results that I had with my son, and weighing benefit versus risk, you know, gave me the confidence to proceed in that direction.
Yeah, that makes sense. Could you share where your first few clients came from and if you have any sort of referral partners from providers?
Well, there are certain companies that I use that I emphasize a lot in terms of supplementation. I have my favorite companies that I use, and I do, in general, refer people to the VitaCost website because it's an easy website for them to do a one-stop shop with everything that I suggest for them. And so the VitaCost website has been a great place to buy their supplements and powders, green powders, and whatever else I suggest. And then I work with a couple different companies, Lumina Health and Results RNA, and I really like their products. But it's, you know, it's a pretty individualized thing because what we do as a pharmacist is we gather all the information from the client in terms of their age, whatever health conditions they have, whatever health goals they have, what they're trying to achieve, whatever concurrent medications they're on, because, you know, obviously we have to check for drug-drug interactions and drug-nutrient interactions. So, yeah, it's just kind of like it's individualized, but yet there's a lot of generalizations that we can use, you know, for cancer, like in terms of what's healthy, what's not, the do's and the don'ts for cancer.
Yeah, that makes sense. And from the people that you've worked with, I know we just said it's individualized and case by case basis, and every situation and person is unique. But if you could boil it down to one or just a few main guiding principles, have you noticed like a time frame, you know, as far as expectations or seeing those benefits come in, or what's been like the most important part of the healing work that you've noticed?
Well, I think initially, you know, I try to encourage everybody to go on organic diet and mostly raw foods, you know, just for the cleansing, for the detoxification part of it. You know, there's a lot of cleansing and detoxing that can occur, especially with the green plants and herbs. I use a lot of herbs. I use a lot of spices with my recommendations. I use a lot of teas. And so I really, you know, with the animal kingdom, I don't usually introduce that for a while. And when I do, I want to make sure that it's very clean, grass fed, you know, wild caught, organic, non-GMO. So the cleaner, the better, you know, eat less crap, eat more food. And I think crap stands for carbonated, refined, artificial, and processed. We want to stay away from that stuff. We want to eat more food, which is fruits and vegetables. I think it's organic lean protein, and the D is drink more water. I forget what the other O is, but, you know, just general concepts like that, you know, staying away from plastic water bottles, you know, sunscreens, watching what you put on your skin, because your skin is your largest organ in your body and it eats everything that you put on it. So, you know, being very cautious about what you do apply to your skin, what you do ingest, you know, junk in equals junk out, food, you know, garbage in equals garbage out. Those sorts of principles, you know, I try to instill in that and work with them.
Yeah, that makes sense. Thank you so much for sharing that. What about like the actual coaching, or, you know, like being that person for accountability or troubleshooting, you know, or even mental or mindset work or any spiritual work that you find goes hand in hand?
Well, I definitely take a spiritual approach, because there were a lot of things in the Book of Proverbs and Psalms that I used with my clients in terms of encouragement and how God is always with us. You know, we may feel abandoned through this trial and tribulation, but he never leaves us. He never forsakes us. He's with us. He'll give us, you know, he who began a good work in you will bring it through to completion. He gives us the grace to get through what we have to get through. You know, if he brings you to it, he'll bring you through it. So just those sort of things that I constantly remind my clients of, and just, you know, general progress reports. You know, they get their lab work back, they get excited. It's an, you know, a landmark for them. And, you know, as they maintain remission, you know, they, you know, I give them a healthy guide, a grocery list. This is what you do at the grocery store. Try to stay in the produce sections. Try to stay away from the aisles. Try to stay away from things that have a mile long worth of ingredients, you know, things that you can pronounce, that you can actually pronounce, you can ingest, you know, those sorts of principles.
Yeah, I thank you for sharing that as well, because I think a lot of us understand like the theory of what's healthy, you know, and there's plenty of information out there if you look for it. But again, it's so hard to sift through and actually implement,
it is.
Right?
It is. Mm-hmm.
And I
It
feel
really
like that's
is.
The crux of the work, because especially in such a delicate area, any sort of healing work, but specifically cancer, this is just, you know, such a delicate subject that you really want to have that compassion and hold that space and hold somebody's hand through that. So I would imagine that that's what's required here.
It is. It really is. And there's a verse in Corinthians. I can't really pinpoint it, but it's something about like God will give us the comfort. We will be able to give other people the comfort that we are ourselves receive from God. You know, so basically, we don't go through the trials for nothing. You know, somehow, some way, they turn out for our good and God's glory. So, you know, we give all the glory to Him. But, you know, there was one Bible verse in particular that really stuck with me, and somebody gave it to me, and it was like a God-giving thing, and I held on to it. You know, when my son had such a poor prognosis, because when he had his recurrence, we took him out to Denver, and the anesthesiologists were just trying to tell us to palliate him with morphine until he passed away. And I was like, no, that's not even an option. As long as he has breath, we have hope. You know, no, that's not going to happen. So I found this Bible verse that it's in Psalm somewhere. I think it's Psalm 118 or 119, but it says, I will not die, but live and proclaim what the Lord has done. So that was like a rhema word from God that I received. And so I held on to that and I clung on to it very tightly. The other one was, human calculations have no place with God. So, you know, the doctors will give you all the dismal diagnosis, all the, you know, the statistics and, you know, whatnot, but like ultimately, you know, you're in God's hands. So he's the one with ultimate control. So you have to kind of trust him through the journey. I don't know what I would have done without my faith, because prior to that, I had lost a father and brother in a head-on collision by a drunk driver. But that was back in 1985. And that, ooh, talk about shaking your faith, you know, getting a phone call. That's was when I was in Florida. You know, I got the phone call that my dad and brother had just passed and that I needed to get home right away. That's how I ended up coming back to Pennsylvania. But if that's not enough to shake your faith, I don't know what is.
Yeah, I'm so sorry. My condolences. Yeah, I think faith is one of those things. And we have a saying in my culture that hope dies last. So just like you shared, it's what you hold on to, right? When everything else is bleak. And you actually have to have that faith and that hope in order to persevere. And even if the chances are slim, right? And the projected statistics, the odds are stacked against you, there's still that 1% or whatever the percent is chance that you're going to get through the other side. And despite all odds, you have to hold on to that slim.
I love that. I love that. Hope dies last.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah. So that's kind of how I feel we need to approach life. And I'm doing a lot of mental fitness work myself. And we try to find the opportunity and the gift in every situation and find the silver lining. And again, understanding that there's things that we're going to think are going well and things that we're going to think are going badly. But like you said, the ultimate perspective is a higher perspective, whether it's God or whatever you believe is a higher authority than just our human perspective. You know, there could be a sequence of events that we just don't know yet, that are leading somewhere better than where we are currently.
Well, I like the one that says, you know, everything in life gets sifted through the permissive will of God. You know, good or bad, we may not always understand on this side of our journey. You know, it may not be until the other side that we understand exactly, but everything, you know, that's my consolation. Everything gets sifted through the permissive will of God. And you just kind of have to accept that. And my mother was like, oh my goodness, my mother was like my hero for so many years, because I saw her, you know, instead of getting bitter, she got better and better through the years. She turned her mess into an amazing message for her 12 grandchildren. And she kind of accepted her lot in life. She never questioned God. She never got bitter. She never got angry. And so when I went through the whole ordeal with my son, I was like, oh my gosh, if my mother got through what she had to go through, I certainly, you know, need the grace to get through what I have to go through. So she was a strength for me. You know, unfortunately, she passed in 2020 from a COVID complication, but oh my gosh, she was like our matriarch and my rock, you know, for so long.
Yeah, I'm so glad that there was this inspiration to really ground you and give you faith and strength. And, you know, I think we all need that, right? And we either create it or we look up to somebody, but we get to make that choice, right? And it is a choice at the end of the day, if you see the glass half empty or half full, but it's like, which one is actually going to help you, right? To have that belief, to have potentially the placebo effect. And that's the choice that we have to keep consciously making until maybe become second nature to see that world and change our whole perspective and worldview, where we don't know if something is good or bad. We just let it be until it plays out, right? And then we still don't know and we keep going. And I think one thing that we're all walking around with, and now a lot more conversation is happening in healthcare and outside of healthcare about trauma, right? And like what levels of trauma people are dealing with and how they're regulating their nervous systems from a trauma response, which is probably not the best way to handle life, right? And to deal with stressors of life. But it's kind of one of those things that once we're born into this 3D world and reality, trauma is inevitable, right? Like it's a traumatic partition from your uterus and your connection to your mom to out here to the real world. And then it's just like, how do you deal with this trauma rather than have the expectation that you can just go through life unscathed?
Well, and the thing is, like everybody, you know, paints a picture perfect world for themselves. And we never know that the bumps that are going to occur in life, but the bumps are actually what we can climb on. You know, if you don't have any bumps in life, there's nothing to climb on. But, you know, you have to turn it from despair to ultimately dependence on God, because, I mean, who wants despair? I mean, despair is so discouraging. Like, you know, and when my son had cancer, like, I really didn't want to hear about all the people that died from cancer. No, thank you. You know, I wanted to hear stories of parents that, you know, had a surviving child. Like I had to, you know, wash out the negative, and I had to, you know, say, okay, the grass is going to be green on whatever side I water it, and I'm going to water the positive side. You know, I want to hear the positive stories.
Yeah, I love that. Like the chance of the miracle happening is you have to consciously, again, go and spend more time and energy on that side, like you said. So thank you so much for sharing everything so far. And I have one more question as it relates to caring for people with cancer. So now that we have allopathic modalities, right, and sometimes aggressive or invasive treatments, and they don't always pair well with integrative modalities. So what's your approach there with what have you seen as far as either providers being willing to integrate, or, you know, is it sometimes appropriate or inappropriate to have the diet and the herbs and the antioxidants on board depending on the therapy?
So, I mean, there's some skepticism about, you know, throwing antioxidants in there right around your chemo time, you know, like, should you abstain from antioxidants right before and right after chemo, because chemo is actually an oxidative process. And so I always say, you know, if you want to be safe, then sorry, yes, that's fine. But, you know, unfortunately, chemotherapy is not specific for the cancerous cells. It's like antibiotics, you know, so we need to keep our healthy cells healthy, you know, because chemo's destroying not only the bad cells, but it's also destroying our healthy cells. So I understand that to a certain point. But then again, you know, it's all these plant-based foods that have these phytochemicals, which is, I call it God-based chemotherapy or nature's-based chemotherapy. I mean, it's natural chemotherapy. So when people are done with their treatments, if they choose to go more traditional, and then once they're done with their treatments, I was like, you know, we've got to incorporate these, you know, modalities into your long-term remission plan.
Yeah, that makes sense. So I want to kind of close us out with what you currently offer and what you're doing with your business now, and how does it all work for you?
So I do a lot of consulting. Like I say, it's mostly word of mouth, but I'm on Instagram as the plant-based pharmacist. I'm currently trying to write my book. It's basically a story of my son Anthony's journey through two-time childhood cancer. The name of the book is going to be called The Hope Prescription. So I'm trying to get that out by next year. It's a lot of remembering and a lot of looking back and some of the things that I journaled during the time. So I have to do it like in bits and pieces because it's a lot to digest. But it was like, you know, when we were in it, it was a horrible nightmare. And then, you know, it became a very bad memory. And then after so many years, hopefully it becomes like just a distant memory, you know. So I basically, you know, I have a practice. It's called the plant-based gene. Anyone that wants to get a hold of me can contact me at Gina@theplantbasedpharmacist.com and arrange a consult time with me. And, you know, it's not just cancer coaching. It's, you know, any kind of, you know, general health goals, you know, trying to, you know, whether it's blood pressure, diabetes, it doesn't really matter the disease, but I do an awful lot of focus and emphasis on cancer because it's so complicated. And I feel like if you can handle cancer patients, you can handle all sorts of different clients and patients because they're not as complicated. So, you know, when you get into the geriatric population, it's a little tricky because of the polypharmacy and all the medications that they're on. But, you know, we try our best. But I really, it's always the risk benefit ratio that I have to analyze and tell people about.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And my hope is that your book will help so many people and it will help you reach more people than are able to consult with you. So congratulations on that and keep us posted about when that's out. And if you have just one more minute, can we do a rapid fire round of questions?
Sure.
Okay, so question one is, what would be the number one thing you would want people to take away from this episode?
That in particular with cancer, it doesn't have to be a death sentence. It can just be a tap on the shoulder, indicating that you have to change some things. I put a lot of emphasis on, you know, epigenetics and nutrigenomics and things like that, that, you know, a lot of people say, well, it's hereditary, it's genetic, you know, I'm going to, you know, have to deal with this. But yeah, genetics may load the gun on us, but it's our lifestyle choices that actually pull the trigger.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. And what would your number one advice be for pharmacists or anyone out there that's wanting to get into a more integrative perspective and consulting work?
Well, I see it's becoming more and more popular. In fact, you know, I see pharmacists after 7 or 8 years switching gears. It took me, gosh, I mean, before I went completely holistic, it took me many, many years. I mean, I stayed in the traditional pharmacy world through most of my career, even though sometimes my coworkers and colleagues would call me the anti-pharmacist. It's not that I didn't believe in pills, but I just believed that we should exhaust our natural alternatives before resorting to prescription medications, which we all know have potential side effects.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. So if somebody was looking to get into it, how would you say to start? Would it be like through research or?
Well, I mean, you kind of have to find your bend, where your passion is, you know, pick a passion and then maybe do some networking with another, like a functional medicine provider or somebody that can let you maybe shadow them for a while and see how they practice and operate. But ultimately, like, I think, you know, when God or whatever nudges you, when you're inspired, that you should follow your dream, you know. And for the longest time, I was struggling in pharmacy because my heart really wasn't in it, you know, like just count, pour, lick, stick, type, and gripe. And I'd be like, wait a minute, there's got to be more to this, you know. Let's treat the person, you know. It's health care, it's not symptom care, you know. And I feel like in the pharmacy world, a lot of times we're just treating symptoms.
Yeah, absolutely. And I love the hands-on shadowing apprenticeship idea. I tell all my students the same thing because we learn really by doing. So my final question to you is, what is your favorite recipe for a plant-based meal?
Oh gosh. I mean, I do a lot of quinoa dishes. I do a lot of kale, like kale and beans, kale and sweet potatoes, kale and quinoa. You know, I wrote a blog once, All Hail the Kale. But just, you know, the dark leafy greens, you know, a lot of you know, beans, lentils, dishes. Yeah, I don't miss like lentil burgers, lentil walnut burgers, sweet potato dishes. I mean, there's just so many. It's so easy, like because I've done plant-based for so long that like I just like a lot of times just look in my refrigerator and say, okay, what kind of meal can I make with this? But it's just in incorporating, like I always tell people, eat the rainbow, not Skittles, but like eat the actual rainbow, you know, all because every different color and texture of food has a different phytochemical in it. So, you know, use a wide combination of plant-based foods.
Yeah, that's such great advice and an important caveat about the Skittles. So, Gina, how can people learn more about you and support your work?
Well, you can check me out on the Plant-Based Pharmacist or email me at Gina at the Plant-Based Pharmacist. When my book comes out, I'll have another platform, you know, with the Hope Prescription. But I'm happy to consult with anyone who has any, you know, health concerns, who wants to better their journey and walk in life. And, you know, it's about like, you know, I'm in my 60s now, so I'm 63. So I realize, okay, this is my last quarter. Okay, now how can I maximize my last quarter? Like, really, you know, anything over 70 to me is considered bonus years. So, you know, to get the most out of life, you know, there's an expression that says, you know, when we're young, we spend our health trying to gain wealth, but then when we're older, we spend our wealth trying to regain our health. So, you know, many of us have been in that situation, especially those of us that have been in healthcare industry for so long. It's not an easy field, and you can get burnout, you know. So, just to, you know, another thing that I emphasize a lot is the 8 laws of health. It's called New Start, but it's a mnemonic that stands for nutrition, exercise, drink plenty of water, get plenty of sunshine, temperance or moderation, fresh air, rest in God, and or no, rest, plenty of rest, and then T is trust in God. It's called New Start. So that's one of the things that I preach a lot.
Wow. Well, I love all your mnemonics and I absolutely love this conversation. So thank you for coming on and sharing your wisdom with us.
Thank you so much, and I hope we meet again.
Likewise. Bye bye.
Okay.
Thank you for tuning in to the Holistic Pharmacy Podcast. I truly hope you enjoyed listening to this episode as much as we enjoyed creating it. If you learned something new from it, I'd love if you could leave us a 5-star review and share it with a friend who might love it too. You can find me on any of the podcast and social media platforms by looking up Holistic Pharmacist or Dr. Marina Buksov. Thank you for your support and see you next time.